Hey, we're on Hurricane Isaac watch today. Of course, we're not watching as close as the people in New Orleans are watching, I can tell you that. Holy dump truck.
And now, here's Bill Bitica.
Hey. Hey. Wow, 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 wow. What a hurricane. Oh, my God. Same course that Katrina took. Anyway, we'll see what's going on. Yeah, we're Bill Bitica, Talkin' Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo, your news station. I thought today's show is how we'd start. We had astronaut Neil Armstrong passed away Saturday from complication of heart surgery in Cincinnati, Ohio. He was 82.
Everything is go here. We're just waiting for the cabin pressure to bleed to low enough pressure to open the hatch. It's about 0.1 on our gauge now.
Neil, this is Houston, over.
Roger,
we're showing a relatively static pressure on your cabin. Do you think you can open the hatch at this pressure, about 0.12 PSI?
We're going to try it.
Roger.
I might cool it up a little bit.
Okay, my window, sir.
Neil Armstrong died at the age of 82 this Saturday, and that takes us back to July 20th of 1969.
...to be sick or injured, but you can choose where to get help. Take MR imaging, for example. San Luis Diagnostic Center now offers their brand-new 3-Tesla ultra-high-field open MRI, the only system of its kind in California, and one of three in the United States. If you're claustrophobic, it's not a problem. With their new Siemens Skyra scanner, it has the largest opening available. Plus, it has the best quality images and shortest scan times. That's right. Shortest scan times, largest capacity opening, and image quality unequaled by any other scanner. San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art technology. So when you need an MRI, take control of your health care. Ask your doctor to send you to San Luis Diagnostic Center for their ultra-high-field, state-of-the-art open magnet. The choice is yours. Call 542-9700. All major insurances accepted.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
ccslo.com right now. Don't forget they will build you a computer. They will, you say, this is what I want to use it for, this is what I need it to do the best, and they will say, fine, we'll put that sucker together for you. Coastal Computers right there. All right, you're with Bill. It's time for our what's this and who's it's and our birthdays and stuff, on, according to the Tribune today. Our flashback, our highlight in history, on August 27th of 1962, the United States launched the Mariner 2 space probe, which flew past Venus sometime later. 1908, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the 36th president, was born in Texas. 1967, Brian Epstein, manager of the Beatles, was found dead from an overdose of sleeping pills. He was 32 years old. Our birthdays today, actress Tuesday Weld is 69, ex-porn star Harry Reams is 65 from Deep Throat fame, actor Paul Rubens is 60, actress Sarah Chalk, I think is how you say that, I'm not sure, is 36, and actress Alexa Vega is 24 today. Let's say happy birthday to them and to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue has been knocking out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Moe's has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe Barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
We're broadcasting here. By the way, the bad news is the Dodgers lost yesterday. The good news is, for us, here at the 1340 KYNS, the Giants also lost. We're the Dodger Station.
Another action-filled adventure.
All right, we're going to do our CalcosNews.com segment right now, and we will talk first about Central Coast lawmakers say no gifts, say no to gifts, but they that doesn't mean anything, and they just said it. Of the 23 lawmakers in Sacramento took a righteous stand against accepting gifts by placing signs on their doors, only three adhered to the self-imposed ban. The rest admitted and required state disclosures that they took some grants from special interests last year. The gifts include travel to China, iPads, tickets to Disneyland, USC football and Padres baseball games, bottles of wine and luxury seats for an IndyCar race. Three Central Coast lawmakers, Senator Sam Blakeslee and Assemblyman Kacho Shaji, and both Republicans from San Luis Obispo and Assemblyman James Beal, San Jose Democrat, stood behind the signs they placed in their office and refused to accept any gifts. State law allows lawmakers to accept gifts from a lobbyist or a lobbying firm if it is worth no more than $10 and from other sources if the value does not exceed $420. Senator Jared Huffman of San Rafael, who reported gifts of more than $6,000 last year, told the L.A. Times the issue crops up frequently on lobby days when interest groups bring large numbers of people to the Capitol to support their causes. I've been shocked by the number of things that come in the door during every group's lobby day, Huffman told the Times. I've had fruit baskets from the California citrus folks, endless books, apparel of all types, all the stuff I don't want. I don't even ask for it. But I take it. I take it. There's a law that says they can. Guess who passed that law? Okay, moving on then. It never ceases to amaze, you know. I'm kind of loaded for bear on the computer today, and the, you know, this thing's not made to handle even, you know, little kittens. So it might take a while for things to happen. It might, if it takes too long, I'm just going to say, forget about it. Forget about it. But, okay, here we go. There we go. All right. This is kind of great news for anybody that's trying to do anything in Grover Beach and attempt to attract new businesses to open in Grover Beach. The Grover Beach City Council voted last week to update the municipal code to ease development restrictions and costs. City officials agreed to revise city codes to allow more permitted uses, which will increase the types of businesses that can occupy existing buildings. Parts of the old zoning code were also eliminated because of inconsistencies with provisions in the city's development code. In addition, new businesses approvals can now be made at the staff level rather than going through a long review and public hearing process. These changes are slated to cut the time it takes to get a new business to gain city approval, which will allow also reduce staff expenses while increasing revenue to the South County City. Which I think is something I think everybody should follow that example. I really do. After having put up with all this stuff forever. Yeah. Avila Beach had a, in the barn there where they parked the golf carts, they had a big fire. It caused an estimated $400,000 in damages. Cal Fire crews responded to the fire at about 6 p.m. By that time, the fire had spread from the shed to nearby vegetation, causing the fire that charred 1.5 acres and destroyed the building. Golf carts and lawnmowers remains under investigation. So, if you're thinking of playing golf today, if you're playing around, you're going to have to hoof it. You're going to have to be like a pro and hoof it around the course. That's it, right there. All right, I'll tell you that. And then, lastly today... Oh, no, there's another story that's very important. But here's what's going on. The California State University System is slated to launch a system-wide online university in 2013 that could eventually expand to enrollment of 250,000 students. Budget cutbacks to California state-funded universities and incredible salaries for the people that teach there have resulted in fewer classes and reduced student enrollment. I added a sentence. The online system is expected to increase class availability. However, participation by campuses on the quarter system, such as Cal Poly and San Luis Obispo, is less likely because the online classes are slated to be semester-based, and we're not quarterly-based. Participation is the only university program by each campus will be voluntary, but it's actually a pretty great idea, to tell you the truth. I don't know who came up with that, but it's a good idea. But that's just they make more money. You know, if you can get 250,000 students to pay more dough, yeah, that's worth doing. And then a San Luis Obispo man wrecked a motorcyclist from a fire. What a strange tale this was. The guy was on Ontario Road early, was it Saturday or Sunday morning? Maybe this thing will tell me. Saturday morning, he was pulled from underneath a burning motorcycle. Michael Summerall was driving Ontario Road at about 4:30 in the morning when he collided with a deer. His bike flipped on top of him and burst into flame. This is after he went about 100 feet. Understand? He went about 100 feet. The bike and he went about 100 feet. Then landed on top of him, burst into flames. Stephen Gray of San Luis Obispo watched the incident and heard the pinned motorcyclist shouting for help. Graham ran over. He lived right there. He ran over to Summerall, lifted the burning motorcycle off of him, then dragged Summerall a safe distance to the shoulder of the road. After sheriff and fire personnel arrived, Summerall was rushed to the Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center for emergency treatment. He suffered serious burns to the lower half of his body, palms, and eyebrows. Gray's decision to take action saved Summerall from the further burns to other parts of his body and quite possibly saved his life, which I would certainly say is so. So thank you for being a hero, and thank you for listening to CalCoastNews.com for a Monday.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
I'm sorry, I forgot there's things you can't do. There's things you can do and can't do at the same time with this thing. All right, here's what's going on. This is the big news. You're going to say, Bill, are you sure? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When's the last time you heard about this? When is the last time you heard about the little black bag? You know, when you were playing doctor when you were a kid, you had a little black bag, didn't you? Okay. So here's the deal. This is Peter Bresler, MD, board certified in family practice, Central Coast House Calls, senior services, chronic acute illnesses, minor injuries, pediatrics. I'm doing a free ad for this guy. He makes house calls. We'll see you at your home or residence, which is like where your home is when you're a resident. Full service personalized medical care. serving Los Osos, Mora Bay, San Luis Obispo, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande. Now accepting new patients. Call 801-4607. I'm going to tell you what this. I'm going to give you his number again. This guy makes house calls. 801-4607. Insurance billing provided for Medicare patients. So you can go to www.centralcoasthousecalls.com. And there you go. It was one of those little sticky things that the Tribune puts on the paper there. Anyway, right there. Peter Bresler, MD, makes house calls. I thought the only people who made house calls anymore were pizza people. That's pretty cool right there. All right. That was cool. What else? Oh, wait, there was another thing that was really important to tell you about. Right, first thing today. First thing I had to tell you about this right here. Wait, let me get it. Let me get it. Right here. Vin Scully, one of baseball's most beloved broadcasters, is sticking around for another year with the L.A. Dodgers. 84-year-old Hall of Famer returned to a record 64th season in 2013. He began his professional baseball broadcasting career in 1950 with the Brooklyn Dodgers and has called three perfect games, 25 no-hitters, 25 World Series, and 12 All-Star games. Scully said he felt energized after the Guggenheim Baseball Management Group bought the team from Frank McCourt this spring for $2 billion. Now we have to pass some of that energy on to the team. Could we please have some energy in the team? Thank you. Well, we got Isaac's the big thing today. I mean, it's just, you know, here's the weird part of this thing. Everybody's sort of sitting in suspense, although there's lots of places where this thing has a huge tail that goes out towards the east, but it's headed west. And so it's only headed at 14 miles an hour, so everybody's just sitting here holding their breath waiting for the thing to cross the Gulf of Mexico at 14 miles an hour, which is very fast. But on the other hand, you have people on the other side, Vero Beach, and what's the name of those? Where's all the fancy people live? Palm Beach. Palm Beach is underwater, for gosh sakes. And it's raining hard, and it's terrible times there, had by all. And they're really saying, this could be as bad, according to Forbes magazine I read this morning, this could be as bad as Katrina. Now, they have interviews. Now, here's the thing I don't understand. I don't get it. Don't ask me. Don't say, Bill, what's the deal on that? I don't know. Let me see if I can find this maybe for us. Just a second. Let me see if I can actually find it for us. Okay, let me go here. Because I don't get this. They're saying that the mayor has said, he said, I got to tell you something. This is not going to be like it was last time during the hurricane. You're not going to go to the Superdome. You're not going to go to the convention center. There's no place to go. So this is where this gets really weird. Let me see if I have it right here. Nah. Nothing special. Okay, I can't find it. Anyway. So that's what he's telling them. Saying you got to get out because that's the way it's going to be. And so this is presents a huge problem for the disabled, the elderly, the people that don't have enough money to go stay someplace for a week. You know, it's just I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I realize how atrocious that whole other thing turned out because of a lack of FEMA reaction to what was going on there, and the horse racer guy. You know, he did no good. But anyway. It's a really bad situation down there. And so I forget how many billions of dollars, $11 billion I think it is, they've spent fortifying the levees and stuff surrounding New Orleans. And they have big, huge pumps on the inside. The question is, it's going to rain. There's going to be a storm surge. It's going to be huge, 8 to 11 feet. And then the rain's going to be filling in the inside. And they just don't know if the pumps are going to be able to handle it and get this thing handled. So we'll hold our breath, I guess, and see if they're going to end up like they did last time. It was a bad place to start building to begin with. You know what I'm saying? The very first person that ever set foot in that area and said, I think I'll pitch a tent, should have said, nah, I better go someplace higher. But they didn't. They didn't, so there's no sense in worrying about it now. They did what they did. Republican Party, here's a headline. I'm not going to go to the whole thing. Republican Party fears its factions. Social Security debate restoked. We go on and on with Social Security debate. Will there be enough money? Won't there be enough money? Somebody wrote a letter, too, about that. But see, that everybody has a different... Here's the thing. There's as many opinions as there are noses, you know what I'm saying? And so people write these things like it's gospel, and they say, well, no, but that's not a problem because here's why. And you're like, yeah? Where did you get the information from that nobody else has? How's that work, exactly? How is it that you can have information that nobody else has? Like you're the only one that knows it. SS Made Simple has become a favorite myth that Social Security is going broke and that the only way to fix it is to cut benefits. The truth is the people who run Social Security say that it's fully funded for more than 20 years. We extend this full funding to 75 years by making Social Security taxes payable on all income. This change would affect just over 5% of wage earners and provide Social Security funding for the rest of the century. Gary wrote that from Templeton. Hope he's right. Hope he's right. And then somebody, there's another poll in here today. Wait a second. Let me tell you something else. This is in here. Wait a minute, about Social Security. They said, people said that they would, they would think it was okay to raise taxes to save Social Security. I'll have to find out where. I don't know exactly where it's right now. But anyway, they said that. And that's really kind of weird, if you want my opinion, because that's just plain weird is what it is. All right. Our music today is Barbara Streisand. I try to get our music today is Barbara Streisand singing duets. One of which was the biggest surprise in the whole wide world because it became a hit, and she sang with Don Johnson of Miami Vice fame. Nobody expected him to come out of the woodwork and sing with Barbara Streisand, but he did. That's not the first one we're going to hear though. Well, I could change him around. Doesn't matter. All right, let's take a break, and we'll hear from Barbara Streisand, and we'll come back after that and talk about all the stuff. That's going on today because there's tons of it.
When you buy a previously owned vehicle from Rancho Grande Motors, you can feel confident that your automobile purchase will be covered, whether by a written warranty or something even better. You see, our philosophy at Rancho Grande Motors is no worries. You don't even have to ask because we always tell you everything we know about our vehicles. Our vehicles are top-notched and fully reconditioned. We take pride in the condition of our previously owned cars and trucks. If something goes wrong with your car or truck, we handle it. And they are all priced competitively on the lot and the internet, so you can shop and compare. Come talk to us at Rancho Grande Motors, where you'll always have a peace of mind when it comes to a used car purchase. We're always here for you. We are Rancho Grande Motors. Go to RanchoGrandeMotors.com or stop by for a visit at 1404 Auto Park Way, San Luis. Rancho Grande Motors, a little hard to find, but always easy to deal with.
In the year 1870, San Luis Obispo was a different place than it is today. The city was known throughout California as El Barrio de Tigre, the town of the wildcat. This was the year a group of Masons formed King David's Lodge No. 209 and established the Freemasons of San Luis Obispo. For the past 142 years, Freemasons have been serving the community. And on Tuesday, August 28th at 6 p.m., they're once again opening their doors to the public to showcase their 99-year-old historic lodge, located at 859 Marsh Street in the heart of downtown SLO. At the Masonic Open House, you'll be able to tour the historic lodge, receive a brief history of Freemasonry, and meet local Freemasons. The event is free and open to the public. The SLO Masonic Lodge is located at 859 Marsh Street in downtown SLO. For more info, visit slomasons.com or call 545-5681. Freemasons. Ask one to be one.
Nothing live, nothing grew till I loved you. Every sky, ever gray, never. My friend, good friend, and sometimes I would wonder, could the one to save me possibly be you?
I was lost, I was blind, till I let you, wouldn't see.
Close to
Barbra Streisand, Till I Loved You. Pretty song. It's 26 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Your Bill Benedict Talk is Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me today. Now, Bill Nye the Science Guy is going to upset some people right here because he says, why are we bothering in this country to teach creationism when, you know, it's bunk as far as he's concerned? Well, it doesn't make any sense. We'll hear it after this ad. I'm not going to go as far as to say that, but now that we know that the universe is, what, 55 billion light years across, where's heaven in that?
Right here. Great.
One of those ads you have to see to understand. I'm seeing, I don't understand. So I could skip the ad. I didn't know that.
Denial of evolution is unique to the United States. I mean, we are the world's most advanced technological. So, I mean, you could say Japan, but generally, the United States is where most of the innovation still happens. People still move to the United States. And that's largely because of the intellectual capital we have, the general understanding of science. When you have a portion of the population that doesn't believe in that, it holds everybody back, really. Evolution is the fundamental idea in all of life science, in all of biology. It's very much analogous to trying to do geology without believing in tectonic plates. You're just not going to get the right answer. Your whole world is just going to be a mystery instead of an exciting place. As my old professor Carl Sagan said, when you're in love, you want to tell the world. So once in a while, I get people that really, that claim they don't believe in evolution. And my response generally is, why not? Really, why not? Your world just becomes fantastically complicated when you don't believe in evolution. I mean, here are these ancient dinosaur bones or fossils. Here is radioactivity. Here are distant stars that are just like the our star, but that are at a different point in their life cycle. The idea of deep time, of this billions of years, explains so much of the world around us. If you try to ignore that, your worldview just becomes crazy. It's just untenable, self-inconsistent. And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them. We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff, solve problems. It's just really a hard thing. It's really a hard thing. You know, in another couple centuries, that worldview, I'm sure, will be, it just won't exist. I mean, it's there's no evidence for it, so.
Bill Nye, the science guy, right there. It says, think big, or big thinker, big something. I don't know what it said. Said something like that. All right. So that's what happened with Bill Nye, the science guy, right there. So I had told you he's going to kind of probably upset some people about that. We have another really important story that happened, and let me tell you what it is. Well, I'll tell you. A swarm of several hundred earthquakes, the strongest measuring 5.5 magnitude, were centered east of San Diego near California's border with Mexico on Sunday afternoon, yesterday, because little damage, seismologists said. Sunday's shaking in Southern California's Imperial Valley was the most actively recorded there since the 1970s, according to U.S. Geological Survey seismologist Lucy Jones. We were having a swarm, she said. We expect thousands of events like this over several days. In Brawley, the town closest to the center of the storm, a fire department dispatcher said there was no reports of injuries so far. Brawley is about 100 miles east of San Diego and about 200 miles southeast of Los Angeles, and a lovely town it is, too. I've been there. Only minor damage has been reported, said Robert Graves, another guy. Now, as you know, they're in off of El Salvador. They had a bad earthquake. And they haven't determined quite yet exactly what that's done, but they know that it was a much larger earthquake. So we're being swarmed, swarming down here in Brawley. Beaumont down there, Brawley's down there. Exciting places. They're probably much bigger now, you know. I mean, here I'm being a sarcastic guy. They're probably huge now. You know, like, I used to think it was, it's much different than that now. So probably much different than they used to be. I'd imagine. All kinds of people living in there. So here was the advantage. Back in the 1970s, when I was a salesman on the road, the bad news was I had that area. That was my territory. And I say that lovingly. But the good news was when the gas crunch hit, I didn't have to wait in line for gas because there wasn't enough people out there to wait in line. And also I had a car, a Mazda rotary engine car, that was capable of burning the worst crud you could find to put in a gas tank. It didn't matter how bad the gas was, that rotary engine paid no attention to that. It just worked. So that was really, because I could go to these places, you know, no-name gas, you know, and say, okay, fine, I'm going to save some dough. But the rotary, I think it's done. I think this year's RX-7 is the last time we're going to see the Wankel engine in production for the foreseeable future. It was always very surprising. I think everybody was surprised that it never made it into aviation and never made it into marine applications. One of the things about it, though, of course, is it's not. It's very powerful for its size, but not very efficient for its size. I mean, it's not. When you have a, it's you don't have a. Even though you had a small Mazda, you weren't saving a lot of gas with it, because the thing went like a bat out of heck. All right, that's it right there. I'm not going to say that other word because that girl got allowed to have her diploma because she said that. She used that one word. Sure. They asked her, what are you going to do when you grow up? She goes, heck knows. And that got her in trouble. I didn't know I was going to get you in trouble these days. Okay. So many other things, so many places to go, so many things to talk about. I finally did some research today, and this person doesn't know that I researched them, but I did. And it's Mary Power Giacoletti. So I learned it's Mary, and it's Power Giacoletti, and San Simeon. And so she writes a column about she writes a letter to the editor every few months that tells about how bad wood smoke is. And the World Health Organization recently determined that exposure to wood smoke contributes to the number one cause of child mortality, pneumonia, not unclean water, malnutrition. Now, here's the thing that bothers me about this. I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that's in developing countries. I mean, we only have so much wood smoke here. And I've said about her, where she lives in San Simeon, there's no, with onshore wind, there's no chance of having any wood smoke come anywhere near you. But anyway, but that's fine. But she writes this letter. But then I found out she's prolific. She writes in the LA Times. She writes in she's written all across the country. She's written letters about smoke, about alcohol use, no good. And then one letter she wrote to the New Times about methamphetamines production in San Simeon, which I didn't know there was, but maybe there's. Anyway, so that was it right there. Then our last letter today that I was going to mention was Vic. Vic, who apparently wants to be a novelist. He's written this letter much like a novelist. The other day at dusk, I stepped onto the dunes and had a breathtaking experience. There was no one around, and the dimming light from the sun created lovely shadows on the peaceful mounds of sand before me. But here's his point. He said the only place to get in on the beach in this one part is to go through the Pacific Dunes RV Park, which has the only pedestrian entry to the dunes at that point. And he said he went home and he filed with the press because it's unfair and legally entering the vehicle-free section of the dunes on foot is not possible. That's not true. You found out where you go. You go to that RV park and there's an entrance and you go on the beach. I did it one 4th of July. I took Nancy. We went and parked on the road outside, and walked through the RV park, and there we were. I think we seem to have for as much beach as I've been on all my life in California, we seem to have a lot of people griping about access to beaches that, they don't need to worry about. But this one, they have access to. They've made it so that Californians pretty much have access to everything you can get near. Now, you might say, well, I don't want to go down the beach where the vehicles are going to run me over. Good idea. Good thinking. Okay. Yeah, good thinking on that. I wouldn't do it either. Okay. They have a picture of the new seawalls that were made in Shell Beach. And one was this, make sure they saved a sewage plant down there. And what they try to do is they try to make it look like natural rock. Well, it looks like frosting on top of something, and it's dripped from the heat. The people that do a cement work probably aren't artists per se, are they? They're not. I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't know. But I think probably not. This guy, Peter Bresler, did I mention? He makes house calls. He's a doctor that makes house calls. Little black bag. Remember that when you were a kid? Yeah, me neither. My father would rather have you die than call a doctor. He had as many kids as he did, it didn't matter. Yeah, whatever. I guess we should mention that Snooki had a bouncing baby Jersey boy, and I know how important that is to everybody in the whole wide world. Here was the thing. The top 10 at the box office, they didn't make much money this weekend. It was poopy. They just didn't do any good at all. The Expendables was number one at only $13.5 million. The Bourne Legacy, $9.3 million. Number three, Paranorman, which is new, and it's for kids. It's for adults and kids, but the kids can see it. It's $8.5 million bucks is all it did. The Company, $7.4 million. The Dark Knight Rises, $7.2 million. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, $7.1 million. Another kids thing. Premium Rush, $6.3 million. 2016 Obama's America, $6.2 million. Hope Springs, $6 million. Hit and Run did $4.7 million, which is and it just opened, so you can tell that that's apparently not taken off. It got hit and it ran. I'll tell you that. Okay. So here was a question. This is the question. Do power plants pose health risks? The NRC may look to answer that question if it launches a major nuclear study this year. So what they're going to see is how much incidence of cancer? How much when you live near the plant? How far away do you have to live from the plant? What happens when you're near the plant? And who's going to pay for the San Onofre power plant? And it's probably going to be the ratepayers, which doesn't seem really fair, does it? They didn't design, the ratepayers didn't design the tubes that went bad. Southern California Edison designed the bad tubes. The ratepayer has to pay for it? Boy, oh boy. Okay. All right. So I want to find out about that. Then we had, well, let's see where this one was. Was this in Letter Today? No. Well, I'll get to it. Rochelle Becker wrote a letter and about, you know, nuclear waste storage and all that kind of stuff. And then the Japanese are having big, huge demonstrations. I mean, huge, monstrous demonstrations because the government was so covert in what it told about Fukushima when it went bad. And they are really upset that there was just, you know, no information that was truthful coming out of that thing, much like our Three Mile Island. And so they are upset. You know, and there's a general feeling, it's said, amongst the Japanese that, you know, the government pretty much ignores them, you know. But now they're going to make sure the government sees them. Yeah. Nah. Wow. Then here, from 300 to 630 people reported dead in the latest grisly violence in around the capital of Damascus, Syria. And here they show an image taken by a Syrian. This is a mass grave. All right. And so then the Syrian regime says, well, you know, we don't know who killed them. Well, they sure as heck didn't commit suicide, all of them. So anyway, and so Assad's basic attitude is, Bashar Assad's basic attitude is, there's an outside force that's trying to take over my country, so I will do whatever it takes to prevent that, and even killing everybody in my country. That's how he's thinking. That's how his brain thinks. And there's the rule, there's the unwritten rule that doesn't matter what kind of genocide is committed against somebody. I don't know when this rule started. It started in the post-Second World War era, somewhere along the line, I guess, that said you cannot assassinate heads of state. You know, you can't say, well, we're going to go after Assad, even though that would be the most logical thing in the whole wide world to do, because it would stop everything. But we have this deal, I guess. Everybody has a deal that, you know, no matter how poopy the other guy is, you can't do anything about it. Don't ask me. I don't get it. I don't understand. Yeah, well, okay. Notice this weekend, there's a lot of stuff I don't understand. Oh, by the way, went to the air show on Saturday. I forgot to tell you. Went to the air show on Saturday. Thunder over the valley. There was thunder. There was the valley. There was a low overcast until about 1:15 when they finally could get the planes up in the air on Saturday. But it was still very nice. And so they had some, again, nice vendors. They had some good food. They had beer. I mean, they had Budweiser beer. I can go wrong with that. And they've changed it somewhat, but it's, you know, it's more organized than it was before when I did it. And and Grover Cox and Company were up on top of a kind of a tall structure where they can kind of see everything, and that was kind of good. And then and the guy who, I apologize for not knowing who it was that did the Grover did some yapping, but then somebody else did most of the announcing on an ongoing basis, and he was very, very good. He was very good. I mean, he knew his stuff. And they knew about the pilots and the planes and the whole shebang. So he did a good job. Anyway, so a lot of people there, and I was interested in because we were leaving at about 3-ish, and a little after 3, and there was people still coming in, you know. So it was, and it ended at 4, so people were coming. Yeah, okay. They have a, if you want to go, by the way, if you go on right when you go in the entrance there, once you park and all that, you go in. And there's a bounce housey with slides and all kinds of inflatable Yahoo for the little guys, in case you want to plan on that, give them something to do. And on the right side was one of those rock walls that people climb up. I watch people climb up them. I don't have any reason to cling to a wall. All right. Now, Los Osos eucalyptus trees will stay rooted for now. So the Audubon Society says they're going to do more studies and all that, because they want to see what it's going to do on monarch butterflies and raptors and various little beasties, okay? And because they're thinking about taking out the eucalyptus trees. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. back when nobody, back before it was given to anybody, it was just this piece of property I guess somebody owned. But, you know, there was no improvements to it. There was no fence. There was nothing. You would just walk to it, and you would enjoy it. And the eucalyptus smelled eucalyptusy, and the spring was springy, and the little paths were pathy with lots of poison oak around. You go on the beach if you want, right there. A little beach kind of a thing. It was actually mud, I think, but I'm going to call it a beach. Anyway, you could just do that. Then people got involved. As soon as people get involved, conventions are giant political ads with some transcending moments, or not. I mean, you know, the best transcending moment in the whole thing was, what was that guy's name, Benson? Was that the guy that ran against Quayle and said, I knew John Kennedy and you are sir, no John Kennedy. I guess Jack Kennedy said. That was the transcending moment that I've ever seen at a convention. And then to watch Dan Quayle wince and cower and cry and carry on about the fact that he said that. Danforth Quayle. He was our vice president. Spiro Agnew was one of our vice presidents, too. Oh, I hate to think. All right, let's keep on going, though. Let's keep on going with the thing. Now, sometimes you have to read these things, and then you have to do the numbers, because they, and as soon as I read this, something didn't make sense about the numbers they were using. So maybe they miswrote it, or they don't know what they're talking about. It has to be one of the two. Either they wrote it wrong, or they don't know what they're talking about. This is sudden cardiac death, less likely after exercise, according to a study. So although the survival rate is related to age and the availability of CPR, the study says exercise itself leads to a better outcome. So here's what they said, and I'm just going to read this one little chunk. People who have heart stop functioning during or shortly after exercise are three times more likely to survive than those who have cardiac arrest unrelated to working out. The Amsterdam Resuscitation Study looked at 2,500 cardiac arrest cases in the Dutch's capital greater metropolitan area over a three-year period. Scientists found 145 of the patients were exercising during a one-hour cardiac arrest and were mostly biking, playing tennis, working out at a gym, or swimming, according to the thing. Half of those patients who were exercising survived the event, and they had a much better prognosis than those who weren't working out, the study said. Only 15% of those whose cardiac arrest wasn't exercise-related lived, the study said. So they're saying, here's the thing here. So they're saying about, 72 people survived the you know, they were doing exercise. Now, however, 15%, and let's say we take those 75 people away thereabouts. Let's say we take them away. So 15% of 2,500 is 350. So what they're saying is that the way they said it is that, let's say you take away the ones that were the cardiac arrest people, 300 people survived, 300 people survived who weren't doing exercise of all the people they studied. So there was no exercise and not doing any good. It's bad for you. What I can tell. Maybe they meant it a different way, but that's not how they did it. That's not how they wrote it. All right, now, I know, you can't help, and I'm going to say this right up front to you, okay? Once again, no, I'm not Mr. Prude by any stretch of the imagination, but, and people that know me know how far that imagination stretches. But here's the deal. I know that everyone winces when they have to, if you actually have to read out loud the news and you have to talk about the Pussy Riot in Russia, I know it's a little disconcerting. So I want you to know I'm disconcerted. Anyway, apparently there was two more people. I don't know how many people totally were in the group. They sort of were guessing about how many people were in the group. So at least 12 members, they said, were in the group. Well, two of them have fled the country, have fled Russia. Three are in prison, right? Three in prison. Yeah, three band members are in prison for 2 years for hooliganism, which is so English a word that I don't know why the Russians even have that in their vocabulary under Russian hooliganism, but they have it. So anyway. So hooliganism, so they got 2 years each, and then so you got two more left, and so then theoretically there's seven more Pussy Rioters still there, and they're laying low, I can tell you that. I don't blame them. But there you go. This is fascinating to me. This is truly fascinating, that Long Beach police have solved the 1972 murder case because of advances in DNA and analysis and all that. So they found a guy... killed this woman, 58-year-old Helen Sullivan. She was sexually assaulted and stabbed. And then the guy who did it they decided, died in 1990 at the age of 54 in prison. And he had had a history of being a bad guy. Anyway, but that's just amazing what they can do now. I just heard somebody scream down the hallway. I have no idea what that was. I'm not going to look out and find out. I'm going to hide under the desk here. Okay, other things that are happening. Tens of thousands of firefighters making progress against a series of wildfires across California now are not happy because they said on Sunday that it looks like there's going to be more winds coming up to 35 miles an hour in some of the fire zones, which is what they don't need in the whole wide world. In the whole wide world, they don't need it. And you have they did improve containment of the Ponderosa fire, and Little Joe and Haas were happy about that. The average U.S. price of a gallon of gasoline has jumped 7 cents over the past 2 weeks, and now the hurricane in the Gulf. You know what I mean? We are going to see prices that are going to knock your socks off. We're going to see prices that are going to make you just go, "What the heck is that? What the heck is that?" Fill up today. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding you? All those oil rigs and stuff, they're not going to be able to be getting oil off them. So if I were you, seriously, I would go fill my car up with gas, or as much as you can afford. You can't just say that anymore, go fill your car with gas. The last time I pulled into a gas station, I didn't fill my car with gas. I said, let's see, how much would I need for now? That's kind of how I did. How much do I need for now? It's what we've become. It's what's happened to us. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. That's the way it is. All right, now. Anything else? GOP sticks to planned Obama bashing. Okay. Anything else here? No, there's nothing new that's happened this hour. So, well, there may be something. Something new has happened. Maybe Hurricane Isaac is slowly, steadily heading for the coast of Louisiana. But as far as anything dramatic that they wanted me to mention, I don't see anything. So that's good. All right. Can I say this? I'm not really going to have a lot of Republican convention news. Can I say this? I'm not going to have a lot of Democratic convention news. I just want to say that. I'm not. So if you want the big analysis and all that, Ed Schultz is doing it. I'm sure some of the other people are doing it. You know, they, you know, because that's their thing. Me. Tens of thousands of wild animals face annihilation in a wave of land takeovers in southwest Zimbabwe. The government there has taken, you know, people that are in the government favors, and they've given them all this land and stuff, and the people are saying, get rid of the we don't want the animals. And, you know, and so these animals are going to go extinct, I guess. I mean, they're not extinct. These animals are going to go away, and some are near extinction. And it's like the short-term, well, everything's short. You know, when you look at the universe, ask Bill Nye, the science guy. When you look at the universe, everything is really short-term. But I don't know what that means in this case. But anyway, while this government is in power in Zimbabwe, this is a constant threat then, because they just feel like, well, we're allowed to divvy up the country amongst ourselves, the elite, and heck with the animals. So that's what's going to happen. You got anything about that? About 200 square miles of Alaska backcountry terrain where a California hiker was mauled to death by a grizzly bear remained closed Sunday, but it's open now. Denali National Park. Now, here was the interesting thing about this, you know, because you got the bear. You know, you hear about somebody saw a bear, they saw a mountain lion, they don't. So then the scientists got to figure out which bear, which mountain lion, the fishing game and all that. This particular bear was sitting on top of its victim, who had a camera with two pictures of the bear about to attack it. You know, it went click, click, which I wouldn't have the sense to do. I think because I would be running the other way, I think. But maybe he took it over his shoulder. I don't know. But the bear was sitting on top of his body, so they were pretty sure they knew who did it, and they took out the...
Darkness stirs and wakes in my I'm Bob Green for CNN Opinion. It is not the most luxurious room in the United States. Most five-star hotels have suites that outglitter it. Any number of corporate CEOs boast of offices that are larger. But the Oval Office in Washington is probably the most yearned-for room in the nation. Mitt Romney wants to move into it in January. Barack Obama wants not to move out. The presidency is transient work, and the Oval Office is the traditional home of the most high-level temps in the world. I've been looking at two mesmerizing pieces of video. Each stars a man in his final weeks, or in one case, his final hours, in the Oval Office. On September the 9th, 1963, Chet Huntley and David Brinkley of NBC News taped an interview with President John F. Kennedy. On the tape, the main interview has concluded, but Kennedy says he is dissatisfied with some of the answers. He says he wants to do them over. The newsmen agree.
One or two places were a little ragged. I thought we might do almost think about doing them over. One
what was that?
Saigon.
Three and a half years? Yeah, two and a half.
Well, I'm done. One is we're a little sort of general about South Vietnam. I don't know what we can improve on.
That probably wouldn't happen today. But what comes across most strongly is the aura of command Kennedy seems to feel in that office. He appears filled with the room's power and authority. He cannot have any inkling that within 12 weeks he will be dead in Dallas, and that another man will be sitting in this room. The other videotape features Richard Nixon in the 5 minutes leading up to his resignation address in August of 1974. Lights and sound levels are being adjusted. Nixon is in his chair behind his desk. Through his pain, he grins. It is as if he does not want the technicians to see his anguish. He banters lightly with them.
Hey, you're better looking than I am. Why don't you stay here? Blondes, they say, photograph better than brunettes.
Here is a man who worked all his life to make it to this room, and now he, as Kennedy in a very different context did before him, is leaving early. Mitt Romney and Barack Obama will battle all fall for the key to that room, knowing that in the end it will stop being theirs. Presidents depart. The Oval Office remains, which may be at the heart of the lure that has made so many people over all the centuries hunger to be there for however brief or long a stay. For CNN Opinion, I'm Bob Green.
Thanks, Bob Green. Hey, it's 18 past the hour of 1 o'clock. You're Bill Benica, Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Thanks for joining me on Monday. Here's the scoop. Here's a headline right here that I don't understand. I mean, GOP to take spotlight at national convention. It's their convention. Of course they're going to take the spotlight at it. It's a way to get into a story. I don't know. Okay. By the way, in case you didn't notice, they canceled the first day's activities, which were going to include the Donald. And now the Donald's out because they had to cancel the first day's activities because of the storm. Okay. And we're trying to follow and stay on top of what's going on with Hurricane Isaac. Let me, as a matter of fact, let me check right now to make sure there isn't something I should know. Let me check here. Basically, it's in the Gulf of Mexico installed, but the thing is that the back end of it, you know, has all kinds of swirly nasties, and it was up in Boynton Beach and up in that Palm Beach and up in that area, and I guess they flooded. So to what? Here's the weird part, though. Can I tell you this about the news? Nancy and I are watching CNN. We're watching network news. We're watching the Weather Channel, we tried to find other stuff to watch. Here they have these people that are stationed in where the hurricane's going to be, and there's nobody where the hurricane is. Okay? So if you're saying it's flooding right now in Palm Beach, Florida, They should have somebody in Palm Beach, Florida, showing you that it's flooding there, as long as you're going to do this crazy weather stuff anyway and have people stand in the middle of it. It doesn't make any sense they do that to begin with, but let's just say. So, you know, send a cameraman down there. You can see what it is. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Anyway, but they feel they're compelled to do that. So as long as you're going to do it, do it. Do it so it makes some sense. That's what I'm saying there right there. Here's what I tell people to do. You see, there's this old misnomer about these storms. People say, well, so the windows don't blow in. Open the windows, you know, so they don't blow in. Wrong. They'll blow in anyway. And so they say just get away from them because the glass is the worst thing that happened to you. And go into a closet or whatever you can find. Anyway, it's just amazing. It's insane. It's insane, these things. I don't see anything. I'm not sure, though. And here you have this hurricane and the rain, and it's going to drown people and wash them out and all that. We may be able to get into the governor's update on a live feed, but let me find out how long this could take. Apparently he's speaking live now in Louisiana. And we'll see if we can bring this up. As I told you before, they're not going to allow people into the convention center, Superdome, any of that stuff this time. I don't know where they're supposed to go, but they're not going there. I guess they're just supposed to evacuate out of the area. Connecting to live stream. This may take a few seconds. Oh, yeah. You kidding? Especially the steam-powered affair I got. Yeah. I had to oil it this morning. I think it needs some grease on the Fravastat.
Putting the right emphasis, calling for evacuations in those low-lying areas, and providing people with the resources, the information they need to get out of harm's way. Sure, and I'll let Kevin talk about GOSEP's outreach efforts, and Mitch, I don't know if you want to talk about the city's efforts as well in those areas.
There's, of course, an old familiar face, unfortunately for him, Bobby Jindal.
With our website,
Governor of Louisiana,
go to. We have that in multiple languages, so I'd encourage them to go to that website. It is GOSEP. It's www.gosep.gov. And then also, the most important of that also is the getagameplan.org. Thank you. Yes.
Also on the city's website, ready.nola.gov, there's a translatable link there also.
That's the Lieutenant Governor.
Justin Parrish, we have a website now that translates into Spanish and Vietnamese, and we also have a Spanish interpreter embedded at the EOC, and we also have CERT, Citizen Emergency Response Team, some of whom are Hispanic.
I suppose the obvious question we all have is, what's FEMA doing now? Is FEMA gearing up for this thing? Are they on their way? What's happening with FEMA? But maybe they'll tell us. Well, that was that. So we came in sort of towards the end of it, but so far I've heard nothing. I've heard not one word about FEMA. I haven't heard a single thing said about FEMA, so I have no idea what they're doing. Okay, now I want to get rid of this. Please, make it go away now. I've seen it. I want it to go away. You're ruining my day. Okay, there we go. Okay. Here was an interesting story, I thought. And this is a fabric that this professional, David Carroll, has developed, a fabric-like material that generates electricity. So I guess you could just hook a flashlight to your pants. Something, I don't know, we'll find out.
This family has a problem.
I don't know. I just think my mom talks too much on the telephone.
The thing about it, though, is she likes playing on my phone, so she doesn't want me to have a low battery on my phone, do you?
A point of contention that's turned to inspiration.
And Lauren is the one that suggested, well, maybe we could add something to the phone to generate power.
Taking his daughter's suggestion, Carroll got to work. In his lab at Wake Forest University, he and his students use elements so small they're undetected by the human eye.
Take a single wall carbon nanotube,
that has the diameter that would allow it to slip right down the middle of the helix of DNA. We've been through pretty much all the naturally occurring materials on the planet, and there isn't really a material out there that's able to hold the heat back and conduct the electricity in a format which was flexible or inexpensive. So what we decided to do was to build such a material, and we can build those materials using nanotechnology.
And when it comes to designing a material that can fit on the back of a mobile phone, small size is a big advantage.
The most important idea behind the application is that it's invisible.
Layering carbon nanotubes with flexible plastic fibers, Carol's team created a material that converts heat into electricity with the feel and thickness of a fabric.
This is power felt. So this little swath right here is a piece of power felt, and all you have to do is grab it and warm it up on one end. If you do that, you can see the voltage go way up.
Carol says power felt is relatively inexpensive to make, meaning the potential uses for the material go well beyond boosting mobile phone batteries.
The cost factor is the number one reason why eco-technologies are not adopted. Solar cells, for instance, is an excellent example. Power felt is a way around that. It's an inexpensive way to collect the heat that's wasted normally and convert it into electricity at the cost of a fabric, at the cost of a felt. But here's what it looks like if you make a shirt out of it. So this is a shirt that charges your battery. This is the power felt here, and you can see that feels nice.
The next step, says Carol, is partnering with a company that can produce power felt on a larger scale. Not bad for an idea born around the kitchen table. Anna Corrin, CNN, Hong Kong.
Last month, I discovered my 83-year-old father was being abused by my brother.
My son sometimes threatens to kill me. I don't think he means it, but he's drunk all the time.
My neighbor Tom depends on his hired caregiver for everything, but she took off with her boyfriend and hasn't been back in 2 days.
I may be 72, but I'm nobody's fool. That's why I'm ashamed to say I was taken in by all those phone calls asking for money.
Beaten, threatened, abandoned, swindled. The abuse of elders and dependent adults takes many forms. Abuse can be physical, psychological, or financial. In California, more than 225,000 cases occur every year. Two-thirds of abusers are family members. But this is not just a family matter. Face it, it's a crime. If you suspect abuse, call 1-888-436-3600. A message from the California Attorney General's Office.
Prince Caspian and his horse entered a dark and seemingly endless pine forest. The stories Caspian had heard of trees being unfriendly to man crowded into his mind. The wind became a tempest. The woods roared and creaked all around him. There came a crash. A tree fell right across the road just behind him. Lightning flashed and a great crack of thunder seemed to break the sky in two just overhead. The horse bolted in good earnest. Caspian was a good rider, but he had not the strength to hold him back. He kept his seat, but he knew that his life hung by a thread during the wild career that followed. Tree after tree rose up before them in the dusk and was only just avoided. And suddenly something struck Caspian on the forehead. And he knew no more. Find out what happens next in the book The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian by C.S. Lewis. For other great book ideas, visit www.literacy.gov. Explore new worlds. Read. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
How can you get too much Donna Summer? You know what I'm saying? You're with Bill Benneker, talking to your friends and neighbors network on this really sunny and rather pleasant day that we're having today. I hope you're having a good time too. Weather Wizard says we could be like 81 or something today in the San Luis Obispo Five Cities. They don't call it that. They used to call it San Luis Obispo Five Cities. They used to call it, North County. They call it sometimes South County. Or call it something else. Though I don't know why. Don't ask me. GOP to take spotlight at the National Convention. Hey, here's Nacimiento. The big story about Nacimiento this weekend. Let me tell you what the annual number of visitors. You know how many people visit Nacimiento? Holy dump truck. I'm going to set up a lemonade stand. I'll tell you, 400,000 people. 400,000 people visit Nacimiento. Miles of shoreline is 22. Summer water temperature is 70 degrees. We don't know anything about square miles. That doesn't mean anything. We don't know about water capacity. Maximum depth is 150 feet. Number of flowering plant species, 175. Number of bird species, 150, for gosh sakes. It opened in 1969. The last year of the dam spill was 1997. And there's 354 campsites. So if you want to go to Lopez Lake and have yourself the time of your life, you can do it. I've camped there. Ants and I have camped at Lopez. Turkeys kept attacking. Okay. I'm being anything bad. Okay. Rapper Jay-Z is going to host a music mega show. This is going to be a big deal. This is in Philly. This is really kind of cool. Benjamin Franklin Parkway, it's going to be a tree line boulevard. Now they're going to close it down, and they're going to put on all kinds of people and have all kinds of wonderful people there. For those who can't make the festivity on either Saturday, September 2nd, don't worry. Filmmaker Ron Howard and producer Brian Grazer, who did A Beautiful Mind and Da Vinci Code, have signed on to make a film about the festival. The Paris 2000 movie American Gangster, about a notorious Harlem drug lord, inspired Jay-Z's album by the same name. Officials expect 50,000 paying fans each day for the Bill the Bill curated by Jay-Z, whose real name is. So why do we don't care what his real name is? We just stop doing that? Jeez. His real name is, we know that Ron Howard, when he was called Opie, nobody said his real name was Ron Howard. He said it's Opie. Okay. So his real name, by the way, is Sean Carter. Musicians include Shurelex, Drake, Afrojack, Chris Cornell, Run DMC, and hometown favorite Jill Scott. I'll also have Sheryl Crow there, Bruce Springsteen. Wait a minute, let me see if that's true. Oh, let's see. Previous Parkway music events have been free, including the annual Independence Day shows featuring, performers like Sheryl Crow, she's not going to be. The Roots, as well as the Live 8 concert for African Poverty Relief in 2005, and a Bruce Springsteen set in 2008. So I've used it before, but they're using it again. Okay. So now here's the next thing in the gossipy stuff. What's happened to this poor man? This guy's fallen off the deep end or something. You know what I'm saying? You listen to enough of that country music, pretty soon it's just going to depress you, and you're going to do something crazy. Police in suburban Dallas say they've cited country singer Randy Travis for simple assault after he got involved in a couple's argument. It had nothing to do with a couple. He just decided to get involved in their argument. He was arrested on August 7th. Oh, we already know that. But anyway, so that's what happened. This woman and her strange husband were having an argument in a parking lot, and he decided in a church parking lot. Well, Mark's argument start. And he decided, I'm going to get in the middle of it. He'd been drinking again a bit. All right, something like that. Yeah. You have anything that I need you today? I got another story here I want to share with you. Because this is, what's the old expression? Cyclists are saying good riddance to bad rubbish when it comes to Neil. When it comes to Lance Armstrong.
Radio.
The reaction to Lance Armstrong's announcement that he would no longer fight allegations that he doped in order to win was about as fast as his record-setting winning times at the Tour de France. David Welch is a reporter with the British paper The Sunday Times. For years, he painstakingly examined the claims that Lance Armstrong used performance-enhancing drugs and techniques. Here he is on Ireland Public Broadcasting's RTE Sports, reacting to the news that Armstrong would no longer fight the charges.
You saw that the United States Anti-Doping Agency in their evidence, they say that Armstrong wasn't just a doper, but that he trafficked in doping products, he encouraged his teammates to dope, he put a pressure on them to dope.
Armstrong may be stripped of every single title he has ever won, and faces being banned from all competition for the rest of his life. That's saddening to his fans, but it comes as a relief to many competitive cyclists around the world.
I think it's pretty much
a given that Lance Armstrong doped. I don't think anyone who really is a follower of the sport is in doubt of that.
Andy Shen is a writer for the website nyvelocity.com. He's also a competitive cyclist here in New York.
He did ride at a speed that has been pretty much shown to be impossible without drug enhancement. There's been evidence of his doping. They had retroactively looked at his blood samples from 99 and found traces of EPO in them.
EPO is a performance-enhancing drug that increases red blood cell production. For those who compete on the race circuit, there's no question in their minds about how Lance Armstrong achieved the seemingly impossible.
There's so much evidence over time that you really have to be pretty delusional to think that he was clean.
Yeah, it seems like when they're trying to railroad somebody within sports, that they listen to any cockamamie stuff.
Mike Frazee is credited with discovering Lance Armstrong decades ago. The cycling trainer is a three-time president of the U.S. Cycling Federation, and he coached two Olympic cycling teams. He still believes Armstrong was a clean competitor.
Okay, first of all, you have to know Lance. Lance is an unbelievably, incredibly strong human being.
He says the guy was just superhuman.
You tell me how many people you know that have had terminal cancer, and they give you a time limit to live, who have totally beaten it. Who has beaten it and then gone out and set every cycling record there is?
Armstrong's announcement is probably the biggest letdown for people who worked for the Lance Armstrong Foundation.
It's really disheartening because I love cycling. I know people that are in the sport professionally, and I know how hard they work.
Michael Birdsong is a cyclist who raised funds for the cancer nonprofit from 2003 to 2008.
Over the years, none of it seemed to make sense. I mean, there's no way anybody could do what he did and do it cleanly. And yeah, over time, I did feel incredibly let down. The guy was my hero for a long time. I have no use for cheaters at all.
Cyclist Andy Shen sees a silver lining to all of this.
Among competitive cyclists, the hope is that as the truth comes out, the sport will be able to clean itself up and face its past. And, you know, it's pretty much acknowledged now that the sport is cleaner than it ever has been.
In saying that he was finished with this nonsense and he would no longer address the issue, Armstrong still did not admit any wrongdoing. He may still claim innocence, but to many in the cycling world, it was as good as an admission of guilt. Steve Kastenbaum, CNN in New York.
Yeah. And, you know, they had a political cartoon, you know, that showed Lance Armstrong, and he was on like a big wheel in the front, little wheel in the back kind of bike, like an old-fashioned bike. But the big wheel in the front said cancer research, and the thing in the back said, Tour de France wins, and had a flat tire. But I think they were trying to make the point that Lance Armstrong raised one heck of a lot of money for cancer research while he was believed. Yeah. I would say other cyclists probably want to say, you know what, you can't win seven. You can't win seven Tour de France in a row. It just can't be done. Sorry. Can't be done. Can't happen. So they're probably happy saying, okay, we'll see you around, but door hit you on the way out. All right. This is such a strange, I don't know how much this will play because it's pretty long, but this is such a strange story that it's almost hard to comprehend. The California legislature passed a bill last week that would prohibit victims of spousal abuse from having to pay alimony to their convicted accuser.
College sweethearts Sean and Crystal Harris were married in 1996.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sean and Crystal.
Her six-figure income afforded them a beautiful home in a gated community in San Diego, California, and all seemed just perfect. At the birth of their first son, the two decided that he would be a stay-at-home dad while she continued to work. They soon had a second son, and all seemed just perfect. I'm CNN's Jim Roop. Little did Crystal Harris know that from that seemingly just perfect life, in just a few years, she'd wind up a victim of spousal abuse and the justice system, and be the face of a new California law. To get here, however, we have to go back there.
Well, 4 years ago, my husband, he attacked me. He raped me, and it's hard to talk about.
4 years later, 39-year-old Crystal Harris still shakes when she recounts the attack that took place on March 28, 2008.
He had been threatening to kill me for months before that, and I believed him. And so it was the second attack in less than a week where the violence was so escalated that, like, shifted my whole world, where I really didn't think I was going to survive that attack.
Crystal Harris is 5 feet 2 inches tall, 115 pounds. Her husband, Sean, 5'11", 230 pounds. She caught that second attack on tape. That's all of the recording we can play due to the explicit language. Reading the transcript of the attack is horrifying. Harris says all this violence was going on while their two preschool-aged boys were upstairs in the house.
I couldn't believe what my life was turning into.
After the second attack, Harris says she knew she had to do something. She says that he told her that if she ever called the police, she'd be dead before the police would arrive. But that night, for the sake of the two boys, she had to call the police.
I had actually snuck out of the house to do that the night that he raped me the second time.
I'm going to see if I can skip ahead on this with any success at all. I may not be able to. I might just screw the whole thing up. But you got the idea of the fact that she was attacked by her husband and he sued for spousal support.
$1,000 a month and $47,000.
Now, here we go. Okay, wait. I managed to hit it pretty close.
And then he went on to say, and it's in the transcript, but that's just one factor. That's just one factor.
Harris says she couldn't believe it.
This man has raped me, and now he's making me pay him money every month? That is crazy.
Judge Pollack ordered Harris to pay her husband $1,000 a month and $47,000 of his legal fees. Judge Pollack declined our request for comment, citing California's judicial code prohibiting him from discussing an active case. And during all of this, the criminal trial was getting underway. Crystal Harris knew she was in for an uphill climb.
Spousal rape, especially, is one of those heinous crimes that is not only difficult to tell people about, but it's even more difficult to prosecute.
Difficult to prove. For example, as we hear in this courtroom audio, her husband Sean was telling the jury that the rape was not rape at all, but role play.
It was rough sex, but no time did I force her to do anything against her will. Just another opportunity to yell and scream and get our adrenaline pumping during sex.
Who yells and screams?
Both of us.
Sean Harris told the court that among the role-playing games were Tarzan and Jane and Pimp and Prostitute. Crystal Harris testified there were no games, and she feared for her life. Sean Harris was not convicted of rape or sodomy, but was convicted of forced oral copulation and sentenced to 6 years in prison. Crystal still couldn't believe that she had to pay alimony to her now ex-husband, her convicted attacker. The judge said she didn't have to pay him while he was in prison, but she'd already paid $4,000 to him and the $47,000 for his legal fees. And she would have to start paying him again when he's released from prison 2 years from now.
I was horrified. And that's when I very first contacted my assemblyman.
Her assemblyman is Republican Martin Garrick, who co-authored a bill that would stop the awarding of alimony to a spouse convicted of felony domestic violence. Democratic Assembly Member Tony Atkins was the co-author who introduced the bill to the California legislature.
I was shocked to learn that Crystal had to pay alimony and legal fees to her abuser. I think that's the whole point to what led me to picking up this bill and taking it forward.
Has there been anything like, are there any laws in this country like the one that you have authored?
Well, as far as we know, and we do try to look at these things with the assistance of the district attorney, of course, this would be the first bill of its kind in the nation.
In California up till now, the only crime that would prevent an abused spouse from paying support is attempted murder. This law is signed by Governor Jerry Brown, and he's expected to sign it. It will include anyone whose abuser spouse is convicted of any felony abuse crimes. It passed unanimously in both the Assembly and the Senate. Absolutely no opposition.
This is just common sense. Every time I approach somebody about this and I tell them about this, they can't believe it's not already the law.
Harris may not get back the $4,000 she already paid in alimony before her ex-husband was sent to prison, but she won't have to pay any more when he's released. And she will appeal to get the $47,000 she paid in his legal fees returned.
Is that an amazing story or what? Holy cow, a world gone mad. Now, it's interesting. Joe Topia, in his column this weekend, basically was addressing Republican women and saying, if you look at what's happening with the Republican Party in regards to women, you know, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? You know, you're just being trounced upon, and your rights are being abdicated, and it's just, it's all wrong. And so he said, how do you justify what's happening to you, you know? And that's an interesting point. And somebody else made the point. I don't know if it was a letter to the editor. I think it was a letter to the editor. Well, I support it. And the idea that when a man has had sex with a woman, he has had ample opportunity to prevent that woman from becoming pregnant. He's had ample opportunity. Now, if he doesn't take advantage of that and that woman becomes pregnant, she shouldn't have to suffer what she doesn't want to suffer because he did that. Can't blame her. We're nuts here. We're just, everything's out of whack. All right, enough of that whack stuff. Rochelle Becker from the Executive Director of Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, she wrote a letter, and I have to say this about this whole thing with this whole nuclear thing. I just sort of sit on the sideline and go, whatever happens, happens, you know? I mean, I don't actively try to shut down Diablo. I don't actively support Diablo. I don't actively anything. My hope is that when as we go along, and obviously time is not necessarily on our side, we're going to find out, possibly. As we go along, we're going to get Yucca Mountain open back up again. I don't know what Obama was thinking about with that. And get this thing handled so it's done. I don't think it has a thing in the world to do with anything but Harry Reid is what it has to do with. And so, and to get this thing rolling. And so, because she said this, and see, I don't necessarily agree with it. She said, Diablo shut down tomorrow. 1,000 of tons of radioactive waste remain on our seismically active coast, and a national solution is decades, if not a century away. Which, that's not really true. Yucca Mountain is an answer for now. I mean, an answer for the foreseeable millennia. But it has to be used. Then, this is not surprising, I wouldn't imagine. A chilling reminder comes from Japan this week as Tokyo Electric Power Company found cesium at 258 times the safe level in fish caught for tests within 12 miles of the coast from the crippled Fukushima Daiichi plant. Such a long-term risk to our marine environment cannot be ignored. I understand. Now our whole marine environment now, I mean, the whole thing's coming under question. What's going to happen when they do the seismic testing? You have to wait for an earthquake. What's going to happen when they have seismic testing? Now, can I read this? I'm going to tell you, I don't know if this woman is fooling or not, okay? I don't know if they're fooling or not. She's serious? I think she's serious. Sandy wrote this. She said, I was so excited when I saw the words Macy's and Bloomingdale's, even though attached to a Tascadero in Thursday's paper. What a disappointment that it's only an outlet store. Now my friends and I will be driving to a Tascadero, even though it's not the real thing, just to find those labels. I wonder if anyone who can make decisions regarding our stores is listening to women older than our age 35 in our county who are hanging on to any gossip of a Macy's, Nordstrom's, or Dillard's locating here. We feel really deprived. I mean, I know I do. All right, now here was a strange tale. You know, these strange tales you hear about, and you go, what the heck are they talking about now? This is out of L.A. First off, in L.A., in New York, we got to explain this, that of the 12 people that were shot, the one guy that was the victim, the one guy that killed himself, the 10 other people that were injured by the police officer's bullets. I don't know. Maybe they don't have target practice back there or something. They just keep shooting away until they finally hit something. I don't know what that. I have never heard of such a thing. The military would reject them. The military said, if you can't shoot better than that, we don't want you. I'm serious. Okay. Anyway, so that's really weird. And then here was out of L.A. L.A. police are investigating reports that SWAT officers purchased specially made firearms and resold them at a markup. So let me explain this to you. This is a .45 caliber Kimber, it's called. That's the name of the manufacturer, Kimber. SWAT members had purchased up to 324 pistols from the gun manufacturer. Now you got to buy them for $600 each, which is a steep discount from the resale value, of between $1,600 and $3,500, the report said. So it's like, you know, the old amazing whatever happened to all this stuff. I would hate to see an accounting from the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War of all the arms we purchased that have not been accounted for, of all the money spent that can't be accounted for, all the money we gave them that has not been accounted for. I think the numbers would be so shocking. I think they would just be completely over the top. They are over the top. I can tell you now, they're over the top. And I guess we'll have to wait till it's all over before they say, okay, guess what this cost us. But like everybody else says, what in the world? What if you had put that money into something else? What if you had done something else with that money that would have been, useful for this country? Because it's totally and absolutely not useful now, but you got to try to grin and bear it.
Be happy. Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you're worried, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry. Be happy. So listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
And I'm Bill Bennick inviting you to join me tomorrow for another edition of Talk is Cheap. Until then, may your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap.
Here, 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 here.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Bennick.
Here.
Happy trails to you until we meet. Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
the love.